attacked by the devil. Wives, husbands, kids. Sometimes it's the husband and wife have a great relationship. Well, the kids will go bad. Sometimes if the kids really behave, the husband or wife will get tangled up into some kind of mess and ruin the home. But tonight, we're going to talk about the Christian home. And I don't think anybody here can say, our home is perfect, we don't need no preaching, preacher. I don't believe that. I believe everybody here could say, yeah, we need help and we need all we can get. Amen? Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 20, look at verse 12. I read this scripture some time ago and it has not got off my mind. At that time, some feller, Berodach Baladan, how would you like for that to be your name? Berodach Baladan, brother, the son of Baladan, named after his daddy, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah. For he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Well, that's an old practice, sending somebody a card when they're sick. This was good. Now this is 700 B.C. Long time ago, brother. They've been doing that for 3,000 years. Sent letters and a present when he heard that man had been sick. Y'all heard I've been sick? I was about a month ago. He said, verse 13, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasure. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto them, what said these men? And from them, whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed unto them. The verse I want to look at is verse 15. What have they seen in thine house? Remember a couple months ago I used that verse preaching one morning. It will not get off my mind. What will the Lord see in your house this summer? I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach it, that sermon I did. I'm going to tell you some things that ought to be in our house. If I come to your house tonight, I'd expect to see certain things. If you come to my house tonight, listen, I don't know where we got this. If you come to my house, you'd expect to see certain things. You'd expect to see, Lord have mercy, he's a preacher, and he's had that in his house. He had that. He's a preacher. I don't know why people say that. They act like there's two sets of rules, you know. You're a preacher. Well, you're a Christian. And there ain't two sets of rules. You say, what about 1 Timothy 3? Every one of them things applies to all of us. All of them. That ain't right for nobody to do all them things. So, you know, there ain't no saying, well, your kids ought to be better because they're preacher's kids. You hear that. One man said one time the reason preacher's kids is so mean because they play with the deacon's kids. That's what an old preacher used to say. I don't know about that. In some case, I like you, brother. I like you. It sure is good to hear some amens once in a while. We're too quiet in here. Anyway, appreciate that. Did you hear about this? One man said this. A man's driving down the road and him and his wife and gets pulled over by a cop. The following exchange takes place. The man says, what's your problem, officer? The cop says, you were going at least 75 miles an hour in a 55. Man, no sir, I wasn't. I was going 65. His wife, oh, Harry, you were going 80. He gives her a dirty look. Like, shut up. The cop says, I am also going to give you a ticket. Because you got a tail light out. The man said, I got a tail light out? I didn't know that. His wife said, Harry, you've known that ticket light was out for months. He gives her another dirty look. Hush! The cop says this, I'm going to give you another ticket for not wearing your seat belt. The man says, oh, I just took it off when you was walking up to the car. His wife said, Harry, you never wear your seat belt. He gives her another dirty look and says, shut up, woman. And the officer turns to the woman and says, ma'am, does your husband always talk to you like that? And the wife said, no, just when he's drunk. That man going to jail, buddy. I tell you, that man's going to jail. Now, the truth is, I don't never come to all y'all's house. Most of it, I don't even know where you live. But if I did, there's a little bit of hypocrite in all of us. So we'll put on our best front here at the house of God. Hey, brother, how are you? God bless you. Amen. But you know, boy, when you get home, you get grouchy and you get hateful and you talk disrespectful to each other and you snap the kid, bite their head off with one little thing they do, or the kids backed up their parents are smart, you know, and everything. And I ain't dumb. I mean, I've been around a while. And that's what we need to work on. We need to work on because you can't have the devil at home and all of us come here to church and have the Lord and the glory of God. Whatever how spiritual our homes are, that's how spiritual our church is. If we don't have the Lord in our home, we ain't going to have the Lord in our church. If we ain't going to have some of the Holy Ghost at home, we're not going to suddenly walk in here. I mean, this building ain't magic. You don't just transform when you walk in here into a spiritual person. It's impossible. You when you walk in here, you ain't a bit more holy than you was before you got in here. You might feel different, but that's your imagination. There's nothing magically transforms about us when we walk in them doors. I'm just as right with God right now as I was at home before I left to come down here tonight. And I prayed all day, and I've been studying all day and working too. I've done three things today, and I've been praying for this service and asking the Lord to have it, and it'll be evident as I'm talking to you whether I've been with the Lord today and this week. You could tell if I was a hypocrite and I got up here and I've been living like the devil, y'all could tell it. You can tell when a preaching's flat, can't you? Can't you just tell? I mean, everything a man's saying is right, but it's just, whoa. And you can tell when it's got life in it. You can tell when it's got power in it. You can tell, and it ain't just noise. It ain't just screaming and hollering. There's a power. The Holy Ghost takes His Word and goes into your heart. And you can tell that with singers. So as we look into your home tonight, let's think about this. You know, I told you that illustration. There's this big old family, their house burned down, and they stayed in a motel for a while. And there's about eight or nine of them. And somebody come along and said, boy, you have such a wonderful big family. It's too bad you don't have a home. And they said, no, we got a home. We just don't have a house to put it in. That means home ain't a house. There's a lot of people got a big house, but they ain't got no home. They got fussing and cussing. I mean, I know of houses down in Charlotte where there's, you know, where it's, good night, $800,000-$900,000 home, and all it is cussing and fighting, and somebody gets murdered, and a wife poisons the husband, or he murders the wife, and all that. They just had a house. They didn't have a home. They just had a house. Our goal ought to be to have a home. Have a home. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. A lot of times people are guilty. For 20 years, I've tried to make myself talk right. I don't use the phrase, that boy comes from a broken home. I don't use that phrase. I use the phrase, he comes where there was a broken marriage. And the reason is, you can have a broken marriage but still have a home. If you'll live for God and serve God and love for the Lord, a broken home ain't really the right way to describe it unless it's just tore all to pieces and no God there. You can have a home even if the marriage was broken if you put the Lord first. I mean, if it ain't nobody but you and your dog, brother, and you love Jesus, and you know, live right with the Lord, and the Spirit of God's there, it's a home. So, I hope that you'll listen, and we'll take just a minute here. You know what you need in your home? Main ingredient? You need love. If I ask you what you needed more than anything in your home now, you'd say money. Most people say, we need money. That ain't what you need more of. We could all use it, right? Anybody in here could not use any money at all? Okay. That's what I thought. I thought I'm in the wrong place here for a minute. I stumbled into the wrong church. We could all use it. Of course we could. I mean, somebody walked up and offered you $5,000. You could take a shouting spell. I would too. But that's not what you need most important. Because money don't make you happy. Money don't make you home. Money will build you a house. It'll build you a room. It ain't going to build you a room. $5,000 ain't going to build you a room. $5,000 might build you a might remodel your bathroom or something, but it ain't going to build your house no more. My daddy, where my mom's house is, my daddy, when I was little, bought that house. It's a small house, but it was a good house. He bought that house and 25 acres of land for $6,000. $6,000. Now, probably one of them acres of land would be worth that. But that don't buy you a home. That don't buy you a home. What should we have in our home? You say, I need money. Maybe you do. But I tell you something, you need more than money. You need love. Love. Love is a main ingredient, one of the main ingredients in your home this summer. Love. Love should abound. Whoever said there's no place like home was telling the truth. Was telling the truth. You ought to have love in your home. Everybody love each other, and I think you ought to tell each other you love them. Now, my daddy never did tell us he loved us, but I knew he did. I mean, it's evident the way he worked and provided for us, but he never did say it. And let me tell you men, don't be so stubborn and proud that you can't tell your kids and your wife and everybody that you love them. Pray and say, I love you. I love you. Tell them. Tell them. You're not to, y'all, that ain't manly. Now, listen, Jesus did it. Jesus loved his disciples. He was a man. Jesus wept. He was a man. He wasn't a weak person. Meek don't mean weak. And it's not unmanly to cry, and it's not unmanly to show affection or to show love. It's not unmanly. It's been 20 years since I cried. That means 20 years you've been backslid is what that means. Now, there's nothing wrong with a man crying over the right thing, under conviction, shouting, praising God. Tears are a good thing. Jesus wept. Don't ever forget that. Jesus wept. There wasn't a sissy bone in his body, but he let them beat. He let them. I don't think there's any of us that would let them beat nails through our hands and stay on the cross willingly. He could have called 10,000 angels and stayed there. He wasn't no sissy. Jesus let them beat nails through his hand, through his feet, and put a thorn on his head. He was not a weakling at all, at all, at all. So don't be ashamed or afraid to show love. It's good for you. I'll tell you something else. Make sure is in your home this summer is this book, the Bible. Let me ask y'all a question. Answer me. Do you believe God wrote this book? All right. Then ain't nothing in your home more important than that right there. If God said that, you better get in it and find out what it says. I can't believe a person say, I believe God said that, and don't have never even read it. And you say, well, I can't understand it. It don't matter if you understand it or not. There's a lot of the Bible I don't understand. A lot. Man, I get over there in Zechariah, and I don't know which way I'm going, which way that I try. I get it little bits here and there. And every time you eat, you get a little bit more and get a little bit more. But there's a lot of Scripture back there, and even in Song of Solomon and some of them that you think, what in the world? I don't know what they're talking about. I know what the commentators say. I mean, I've studied. I know I've read books, and they say, well, I believe this and I believe that, but I don't know. I don't know if they know what they're talking about or not. I believe God's got a whole lot of stuff in this book that nobody ain't never figured out. The old preacher said, Sam Jones, if I understood everything in the Bible, I'd know somebody wrote it that didn't have no more sense than I do. And somebody wrote that's got a lot more sense than me and you. They ought to see the Bible in your home. I bought a Bible down here tonight and put it on my desk. Left around here somewhere. People leave Bibles all the time. But in my house, you can go to my house right now. Every room has got a Bible in it. I have four bedrooms. The girls had all their bedrooms and mine. And every room has a Bible laying in it. As far as I know. Unless Smokey Joe's got his in your room. All right. Every room has a Bible laying there beside on the coffee table. The girls, even though they're gone, moved out, there's still a Bible. Anybody that comes in my house, it shouldn't take them long to think, man, I believe these people are Christians. I believe they're Christians. And ladies and gentlemen, they ought to see the Bible in your home. Over top of my fireplace, it's got rocks like that. And over top of the fireplace, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 3:5. You know why? Because I want people, when they come to my house, say, you know what? I believe this man's a Christian. If you go in some homes and it's a stack of magazines that high, worldly, I mean, you know, some old women's magazine, Cosmopolitan or something like that, and then over here's all it is games and remote. And I went in a trailer one time on bus route, and they had a stack. I mean, the steps falling in, carpet ripped, grass in the yard. And I'm not being ugly. I mean, it was just ever. And they had a thing that high of movies. The kind you buy. They didn't rent them. They bought them, brother. Back then, they was $12 a piece. Maybe 15, some of them. And every time a movie come out, they'd go straight and buy it. I'm not being critical of you if you do that, but I don't know why you want to watch the same one over and over and over and over and over. But I bet you they had 75. At $10 each, that's $750 worth of movie right there in that box. You know what the Lord said? He said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know where your heart is? It's where you put your money. I'm not necessarily talking about a house payment or a car, but some people is. But I'm talking about where when you get money, where do you want to put it? That's your heart. That's your heart right there. I hope that every one of you, when you make your will, give some, put part in there for the church. I am. And I think you should. I think everybody should. The church has done something for you. The church has been helpful to you. Where would some of us be tonight if it wasn't for the church? Where would some of us be if it wasn't for them buses? So they ought to see the Bible in your home. They ought to see the Bible. The Bible. He said one time this little boy that's playing, and they come in, and his grandma's sitting there reading the Bible. They come in, grandma's sitting there reading the Bible. He said, why does your grandma read the Bible all the time? He said, I think she's cramming for her finals. And that's exactly what grandma's doing. She's cramming for her finals. You know how you study and study and study and study and study for that big test, for that big end of the year, and you're going to pass or fail depending on what you make on that test? Brother, that's why we ought to stick our nose in this book. Because we're going to stand before God one day. And we're going to give an account. Every word of God shall man live. Man shall not live by hamburgers and hot dogs and pizza alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God shall man live. You say, well, there's a lot of words in there I can't understand, preacher. Get you some preaching tapes and put them on and listen to it. You don't have to listen to music all the time. You don't have to have your TV on all the time. Put in some preaching. Let it go in your ears and in your heart. It'll clean you. Now you're clean through the word that I've spoken to you, Jesus said. So they ought to see the Bible in your home. They ought to see it. There ought not to be no dirty pictures in your house. If your kids got dirty pictures on the wall, naked people, take them down and say, look, we're not going to let you have this in this house. You'll draw demons in there if you ain't careful. You'll be pulling demonic spirits in there if you ain't careful. Amen. The old saying is, the family that prays together stays together. And that's true. You say, I know a family that prayed and they didn't stay together. One of them quit. Guarantee it, one of them quit. If you'll stay together, and every night, husband and wife will say, look, I want to be what the Bible says man's ought to be. I want to be what the Bible says a woman ought to be. We disagree on a million things, but we can make it if we'll pray and keep our heart right with God. I heard James Dobson. I was listening to James Dobson. Old Dr. Dobson, he's not a Bible teacher by no means. He don't know which Bible's right. But he is a genius when it comes to relationships and home, family. Man, he's really a brilliant man. And the Lord's give him a lot of stuff. That Tough Love book he wrote, everybody needs to read that. Some of his book on raising children, he's really, really gifted in that area. And I was listening to him the other day, and he's always talking about his daddy. The values that his daddy passed down to him. Y'all ever heard him? If you listen to him long, he's going to mention his daddy passed his value. Like I mention my mom all the time. He mentions his daddy. His daddy. His daddy. I learned this from my daddy. I'm straight today because of my daddy. Daddy taught me. And he's talking about his mom and dad. It helped me. Maybe it helped you. He said, when his mom and dad got married, he said his daddy wrote a letter to his mama, before he's born, of course. And I wish I had a copy of that. It said, called her name, said, I love you, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and said, I promise to be the kind of husband that you need, even if I don't feel like it, even if I don't want to. He said, I'm committing myself to you and to God. And of course, that helped me. I mean, and I believe that too. Marriage is a commitment. It ain't a feeling. It ain't something like, well, I just don't love you no more. And I don't know. It ain't got nothing to do with it. That's got nothing to do with it. It's a commitment that we make. And you know what? Man, I wish y'all could hear that tape. It was great, made back like 30 years ago. And he said his mom and daddy, the great, godly Dr. Dobson's mom and dad, he said they disagreed on almost everything. I said, what? Because I always pictured them as, now the Lord's leading me here. Yes, darling. You know, that's the way he pictured them. He said they disagreed on everything. And he said they, almost everything come up. And he said he could tell when they was having a spat because, boy, she'd be upset and he'd be upset. But he said, you know what they learned how to do? They learned how to work through their differences and work through and get through. And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do to have a home. It's rare to find anybody that always agrees on everything. If you find two people that always agree on one everything, one of them's unnecessary. It's born without a brain. That's why God gives us a brain. We disagree on stuff. We all do. And one man said, well, my wife never opened her mouth. It's because one reason is because you might have her so beat down, she's scared to say anything, and she finally just gives up and says, whatever, to keep having a fight all the time, because you're so stubborn and knot-headed that you won't even allow her to think. And that ain't what God said. But on the other hand, the woman might be so mean and rebellious, she drives a man crazy. And that ain't what God said. But you know what you need? The Bible in your home. The Bible in your home. If you'll do what the Bible says, it ain't going to be heaven on earth, but you can make it. Amen? You can make it. Now, another thing, and I've done talked about this, I'm going to have to hurry. Y'all can say something. I'm not preaching tonight. I'm just talking. So if you want to say something, you're more than welcome. Anybody got a comment? Yes, sir. That's smart. Yeah.
But when I finally got there, just in the Harley drive from Denver, Texas, something happened to me on Saturday night.
Amen.
Sunday morning, my hand shot up in the air.
Amen.
12 days after that, my mama passed away. Before she passed away, she said some things to me. I walked in the hospital. And she looked at me and she said, "Then you're here." And I said, "Yes."
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Amen. Well, you've learned from your mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. You can't go back and change your past. And that's another thing I say, and I think people need to learn it. You young people, when you see your parents make mistakes, as he did, as I did, my daddy drank, and my daddy cussed, and my daddy, and I've heard people say, well, like father, like son, you'll do the same thing. Not necessarily. I've never drunk in my life, ever. I remember seeing what done to my daddy and said, I don't want to wind up like that. And I wasn't saved. But I remember thinking that, I ain't gonna do that. And the only way not to become a drunkard is don't drink. 100% chance you'll never be a drunk if you don't drink. 100%. Amen? And if you fool with it, though, you will if you ain't careful. That's just bad news. But anyway, I was going to say that just a second ago. When you grow up in a home and you see your parents' mistakes, don't make the same mistakes they didn't make. Let their mistakes be stepping stones, not stumbling stones. A lot of people mess up and they say, well, my parents, like he said, was a Mormon. Or my parents was Jehovah, Brother Derek's come from a Jehovah's Witness family. Y'all know that. And his family, and he turned out the right doctrine. So you don't have to follow your parents where they're wrong. Let me ask y'all this. The older I get, the more I notice myself doing this. I feel the bad parts of my daddy coming out in me sometimes. It's just in you. Can anybody else agree? You feel it. I remember my daddy had certain character flaws, and sometimes I feel them coming at me, and I thought, my goodness, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to go by this. I feel my mama's bad. My mom had a tendency to be real negative about stuff, and I catch myself doing that sometimes. Looking, and I think, I inherited that from my mom. I'm not going to let myself go. I want to take their good points. My daddy had good points. He worked like a dog 7 days a week. I inherited that from him. He stayed on the go. I inherited that from him. Take their good points, but try to keep them bad points of your mamas and daddies that's in you beat down. That's human nature. It's in your flesh. We call it character flaws.
Well, when I was 16, 17, 20, 25, I said, I'm not going to make the mistakes my dad. My dad was really rough on us. And on my mom and on me.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not. And now that I'm almost 40, I didn't really make those mistakes, but I made a whole bunch of difference.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Me too. Yeah.
But I got my own, man. And now I'm hoping they'll say I'm not going to make the mistakes of my dad. But
yeah.
I mean, it's like being shot at. It's like being in a fight with 12 people. Yeah, I whooped those three, but the other seven got me.
There you go. There you go. That's the truth, brother. That's a good illustration. And we're all like that. I said, I'm determined I'll never drink. And then you turn out to be the biggest liar in Burke County. That's true. That's the flesh. I've heard people say, I'm determined, I'm going to take my family to church, and then they get all self-righteous and think they're better than everybody else.
Amen.
I've heard people say, I mean, that flesh will come out on you somehow, some way. I've been, I know, you know, where the woman wears dresses all the time, 7 days a week. That's good. That's when I think a woman looks more like a Christian in a dress, my opinion. But Lord have mercy, her tongue reached me here the interstate and back. And I don't know which is worse. So that flesh will come out on you one way or another. Anybody else? Comment. Well, he's right. Make up your mind you're not going to make the mistakes of your parents. My daddy didn't have no religious beliefs until he got saved. None. When he first came down here, Mom said, Lawrence, do you believe in God? And he said, I don't know. I ain't never seen him. That was his upbringing in West Virginia. And he said he had an aunt that was a preacher one time. That's the only Christian he ever knew. And I'd like to her dad, I'm telling you. That would have been something to hear. Like Minnie Pearl, that's who I picture. Minnie Pearl with her hat and her tag still on it. Stomping her feet and slinging her pocketbook and hitting you upside the face with it. But anyway, they ought to see the Bible in your home. Let's try to get another one right quick. You know what? They ought to see some discipline in your home. We ought to have discipline in our homes this summer. And I'm not talking about where the man comes in, cuss everybody out, and knock you upside the head, and everybody walks on tiptoes all the time, afraid daddy's going to blow up. Not that kind. Bible, loving, scriptural discipline. You know, it's not a good idea to spank a child when you're mad, or you just blew your top. You ought to get yourself calmed down and do it if necessary. Calmly, scripturally, right, and it'll have the right effect. If you just rear back and hit them every time you get mad, that's not going to do them any good. It's not going to do you any good. Bible discipline. Bible discipline is in the Bible. Loving correction. When kids act out crazy in public, that shows something wrong. Now let me say this, and I'll move on. Discipline is not something you do to a child. Discipline is something you do for a child. You're not doing it because you're mad. You're doing it for their benefit. When the Lord whips us, He's doing it for our benefit, to correct us and make us have a better life. And that's why our discipline should be for our children, to make them have a better life, to teach them. When your little kid wants to go out there and play in the middle of the road, you say, honey, you can't not play in the road. Well, I'm going out there. All right, I'm going to have to spank you. I'm going to have to discipline you. You're doing it for his benefit. You're trying to save him. Same thing with drugs, alcohol, an illicit lifestyle, sin, anything. You're trying to protect them from stuff that'll hurt them. And that's the same way God does us. Discipline in the home. Daddy didn't know how to discipline us. I mean, he did, but I mean, he didn't really know how. A lot of homes today are what we say, quote, out of control. I've had numerous people tell me the last few years, I can't come to church, preacher. Why? Because this little one right here, I can't do nothing with them. And that's bad. That's bad when you got a 3-year-old controlling the entire family and can't even go to church because you got a 3. They said, we're going to have to wait till he gets bigger to where he'll behave. I got news for you. He ain't going to behave when he gets bigger. If he's a little devil when he's 3, he'll be a bigger devil when he's 6, and a bigger devil when he's 10, and he'll be in jail when he's 15, in prison when he's 20, and wind up in hell if you don't. The Bible said you'll save his soul from hell if you discipline him. So make sure. I got a CD. I think I've given some of y'all a copy of it. And if you haven't got a copy of it, I'd really like for everybody in here to listen to it. It's called Raising Kyle. Did anybody in here I gave a copy of that CD to? Raising Kyle? Y'all, I'm telling you what, y'all. Everybody ought to hear that testimony. That's one of the most amazing stories. God just right down here in Hickory. Raising Kyle. He raised this boy that was a foster child. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll try to get them guys to make some copies and give everybody a copy of it. But you can really make a mess out of your home if you're not careful. And may God help us this summer. All of us. Even if you live by yourself. Even if you and your wife. Even if it's maybe just you and your kids. That you'll say, Lord, I want to have a Christian home this summer. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. We're going to pray a minute. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Desi, just come play something softly. And let's bow our heads for just a second. And let's just say, Lord, is our home what you want it to be? Lord, I want the Bible in my home. I want prayer in my home. I want peace in my home. Look, dear Lord, I want the power of God in my home. I want my children.